And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to Noon Show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. 4 minutes past nine, Monday, it's the 9th of June 2025, and you're very welcome along to another 9 to Noon Show. In fact, the start of another week of the 9 to Noon Show. How are you all keeping? I really do genuinely hope you're all doing very well indeed, and it's great that you're with us here on the programme. Now, we've got loads lined up, loads of different issues. We're going to be talking about road safety and MUF, and we're going to be talking about all manners of stuff. So if you want to take part in the conversation, please do. The lines are open, 086 60 25,000. That's the WhatsApp or text number. You can also give us a call on 07491 25,000. Lots of contacts made over the weekend by email, comments at highlandradio.com or on our Facebook pages. We really appreciate that. So we're chasing that stuff up, featuring some of that on the show today. And if there's something that you want to talk about, use those contacts. Now, great to have you listening, but you can also watch the show. We have a watch live button on our website. Just click that. You can watch the stream in your browser. If you're at home, work from home or work in the home, YouTube on your smart TV or Fire Stick means you can watch us in the corner of your front room, up on the wall above the fireplace, the exact same way you might watch this morning or something. But at least all the content here will be very local to you. And we're on Facebook and on the X platform as well. Right, let's look at see what's making the papers today. The Derry People, Donegal News. As Donegal prepares for the summer influx of tourists, concerns are growing over the impact of short-term holiday lets on local housing availability, especially for families struggling to secure long-term rental accommodation. Donegal Councillor Jimmy Brogan has renewed calls for tighter regulation of platforms such as Airbnb, highlighting the growing number of properties being diverted from long-term rental in favour of more lucrative short-term stays. I think some people can do very well at that. I'm not sure often it's about that it's worth more money, because, you know, there's a management situation. You have to be there to let people in. You have to be there to book them out. Often you have to repair stuff. They might give you calls. You know, you have to get someone in to clean the property unless you're cleaning it yourself. Like, maybe you're in the Airbnb sector. I don't think it is the money cow that some people think it is. I think really, and as I say, I'm open to correction on this, and I have no knowledge of it other than what I feel could be the case. I actually think maybe people are doing it because they feel they've got more control of their property, that they maybe might not in the summer months even make as much as they might in long-term rent over the year, but they feel that they can go in and out of their property when they want, that they have a sense of more control over it. I'd be very interested, if you're in that area, what your motivation is. Like, is it a money cow, or is it because that's just how you choose to rent out your property? But Councillor Brogan says, if you can make a couple of thousand euros a week on a house, you aren't going to let it out to a family for a couple of thousand euros a month, he said. It has a massive impact on the availability for housing for families to rent. The issue became particularly stark during major local events like the Donegal International Rally, when prices for short-term stays soar. Councillor Brogan described one listing in Letterkenny that was advertised for a staggering €20,000 for rally weekend. Even a brief summer season of short-term letting, he warned, can generate more income than a full year of long-term renting. Again, I'm not contradicting the councillor. I don't know the ins and outs of it. And this is Councillor Jimmy Brogan, by the way. Sometimes I think it's not actually about making more money over a long-term rent. I think it's about maybe having more control over your property. But let us know. I'm just guessing. 086 60 25,000. Maybe you've got more of an insight into that. Like, what does more controls of the sector look like, though? Because lots of people sometimes, you know, they believe something needs to be done, but, you know, you need to drill down to it and say, right, well, what needs to be done? You know, and how are you going to tell someone who has their own property, maybe a second property, maybe they've inherited it, or maybe they've invested? How are you going to tell someone what to do with it? They're paying property tax on it already. They're paying tax every which way. And now you sort of want to step in and say, well, you can't use your property that way. You have to use it another way. You know, it's one thing to identify a problem. It's another thing then to back maybe the solution. I'm not saying the councillor isn't. I'm just more generally in the wider conversation. Two men have been jailed at Derry Crown Court for their part in what a judge described as systemic pattern of established behaviour to facilitate industrial-level environmental crime in relation to illegal dumping at Moyboy Road. Paul Doherty of Culmore Road and Gerard Farmer of Westlake, both in Derry, had pleaded guilty to a series of waste management offences that occurred on dates between January 1st, 2011 and July 4th, 2013. In Doherty's case, and July 1st, 2007 and August 5th, 2013. In Farmer's case, the court was told that while the exact tonnage of waste was disputed, it ran to hundreds of thousands of tonnes and the value would be somewhere around £30 million in relevant landfill charges and taxes. Big money at stake there. Big issues for the environment, though. Of course, we're going to need more investment into our infrastructure. You know, the country is growing. They're looking to add 20, 30, 40,000 houses. There are other pressures on the electricity grid, so it's going to require a lot of investment. Now, as you would know, sorry to be a moaning mini early on a Monday morning, but we pay some of the highest electricity prices in all of Europe. Well above the average and miles in front of the lowest. But we're going to be paying more. Electricity customers will have to help fund a quadrupling of investment in the power system over the next 5 years, and it still will not be enough to support the growth of data centres. ESB Networks has asked the energy regulator to approve investment of up to $13.4 billion to 2030, a major increase on the $4 billion spent in the last 5 years. However, the utility has warned that the huge spend, which will affect customers' bills, will cover only the expansion of the electricity grid to serve the increase in demand from new homes, electric vehicles and existing data centres. It will not support dozens of new data centres that are at the concept or planning stage and which government policy pledges to support. So they already, data centres, draw a substantial percentage of 21% of all electricity in the country, which is really quite remarkable because really, do we know what data centres are? I mean, the process data, we know that, right? But I mean, what impact does it have, beneficial impact does it have to us on a day-to-day? I suppose in terms of, you know, cloud storage and stuff like that, AI, that we probably see a benefit to it, but many people are paying for that. But 21% of all electricity in the country is currently used by data centres, and 31% of all power generated in this country by 2030 will be drawn by data centres as they power artificial intelligence. So it does feel a little bit unfair, does it? It's a question that we should then end up having to pay, you know, make them pay. What's in it for us? I mean, it's not AI for Ireland, it's AI for the world. What's in it for us? What's the dividend for this country being one of the main centres for data centres? You know, we're supposed to get something back from that, are we? Because we've got a colder climate and, you know, there's good space for them and, you know, the limited workforce are easy accessible for them. So, you know, why aren't we benefiting from being a data centre hub? Why are we paying effectively for them to draw 21% of our power now? Are you following the story of Greta Thunberg? She's an environmentalist, an environmental campaigner. It's in today's Irish Times and all the papers, in fact. Israeli Defence Minister Israel Katz has told the Israeli military to stop a charity boat carrying activists, including Sweden's Greta Thunberg, who are planning to defy an Israeli blockade and reach Gaza. Well, now, overnight, the boat has been intercepted and they are being ferried to Israel, so it was never going to reach Gaza. Operated by pro-Palestinian Freedom Flotilla Coalition, the British-flagged Madleen yacht set sail from Sicily on June 6th and yesterday evening was off the Egyptian coast, heading slowly towards the Gaza Strip, which is besieged by Israel. I instructed the IDF to act so that Madeleine does not reach Gaza, Mr. Katz said in a statement. But as I say, the IDF have already boarded it. They're taking it back to Israel. And they say they're going to make those on it watch video footage of the Hamas attacks on Israel from October 7th, the infamous October 7th attacks in 2023. So anyway, I presume, listen, the amount of food they had on that boat would make no impact whatsoever. Maybe they've achieved what they set out to do by having the conversation on the front pages. Let's go to the Irish Daily Mail this morning. riotous scenes in the United States. National Guard soldiers arrived in Los Angeles yesterday to help regain order amid protests against raids seeking to tackle illegal immigration. The 2,000 troops were deployed by Donald Trump after tensions flared between activists and immigration and custom enforcement officers over the weekend. So you would know Donald Trump said that he was going to close the borders and he was going to do mass deportations. It's what he's doing, whether people like it or not. Well, a shopping centre and car were set alight on Saturday with several people being arrested in downtown Los Angeles and the nearby city of Paramount. Meanwhile, other vehicles have been destroyed during the demonstrations. California's Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom said the decision to have troops involved was purposefully inflammatory and warned it would only escalate tensions. Now, one thing I don't really understand, and as I say, I'm really open to understanding this, is these are people in this instance that have fled Mexico and they've taken up refuge in the United States. And all the flags that you see in the footage that I've seen are people waving Mexican flags. So what is the logic of that? If you have sought a better life in a different country and you don't want to go back to the country that you fled, why in God's name are you waving the flag of that country unless your motivation is something else altogether? You know, I mean, the whole idea of moving to another country, I suppose, is for a better life, to improve yourself. So why are people that Trump wants to repatriate with Mexico burning up the United States, waving Mexican flags? I don't understand the connection there. I possibly do, but it does seem strange. Surely they should be waving American flags and saying, we want to stay here, please. You know, we'll be good boys and girls. But no, they're burning up America, waving Mexican flags to resist deportation back to Mexico. If you like the Mexican flag that much, go back to Mexico and make a life for yourself there, maybe. Elon Musk, Donald Trump, they're kind of repairing their relationship at the moment, but Elon Musk has PTSD from the White House and believes he made a mistake by helping Donald Trump get re-elected. His father has claimed, though, Elon Musk is so unstable that he's been effectively, you know, sucking up to Donald Trump overnight on his X platform. Donald Trump said he had a drugs problem. It's crazy, really. Sometimes, you know, you'd have to read history books 200 years on to find this stuff out, and they're doing it live on social media. Good news, I suppose. We're drinking less. This is the Irish Daily Star. Irish people are abandoning the booze, with the amount of alcohol being consumed dropping more than a third since 2001. Like, that's huge. You know, a third less booze consumed in this country in just 24 years. And that long-term trend continued last year with a 4.5% drop in consumption in on 2003. While Ireland was once known as a nation of drinkers, the country is now at an EU average in terms of alcohol consumption per head of population. Beer remains Ireland's most popular drink, capturing more than 43% of the market, with wine second place at 28%. I don't know if we're being priced out of drinking or perhaps we're more aware of the potential dangers of it. But anyway, significant drop in the last quarter century in the amount of drink being consumed. 10 cattle have died in a freak lightning strike at an Irish farm. This is in The Sun this morning. The tragedy happened in the Butler's Bridge area of County Cavan. It's not a million miles away from here. The Continental Sucklers bred heifers took shelter under a tree in the middle of the field during heavy rain, but a bolt of lightning struck the ground, killing the herd of cattle instantly. The horror strike happened at around 8 p.m. just after a status yellow thunderstorm warning issued earlier had expired. There you go. Well, those warnings are only for guidance, but that's an awful lot. And there was a number of calves actually killed in a road traffic collision in Donegal, I think, late last week or over the weekend. Really quite bizarre. Four or five or six of them killed in collision with a van. You just wonder how that could happen. It must have been some collision. Finally, in the Irish Daily Mirror, just in case your young people are on TikTok and you don't quite know what they're looking at, TikTok teen skincare routines could be putting Irish girls as young as seven. What's a child as young as seven doing on TikTok? But anyway, as young as seven at risk of lifelong skin allergies, research warned yesterday. One of the first studies to examine the potential risk and benefits found when teens on the platform say, get ready with me, it can be more harmful than they might realise. The findings published in the journal Pediatrics showed girls aged 7 to 18 are using an average of 6 products on their faces, with some using more than a dozen. Why? Your skin's only just growing and developing. So let me read that again. Girls aged 7 to 18 are using on average 6 products on their faces. Another study by a leading consultant dermatologist at the Blackrock Clinic in Dublin has also raised serious concerns. That's a story that sort of does the rounds. We did that previously, and we did also speak to a dermatologist in relation to that, who was really quite concerned themselves that younger girls particularly were damaging their skin. But as I say, these stories do the rounds, and it's back doing the rounds once again. We are going to Muff, and we're joined by Grania, who runs Crack on the Muff. Hi, Grania.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks so much for joining us. Right, okay. There was an incident in Muff Village which really has brought into focus the need for traffic calming measures. Is that really the upshot of what we're talking about?
It is indeed, yes. There's been a number of incidents and a number of reports, huge number of speed going through the village. And just the weekend gone by has been the culmination. And we've realised we've reached the stage that something has to be done. And as you say, I run the Crack on Love page, so I'm a point of contact for people. And I'm inundated with messages constantly. What can I mean, obviously there's nothing I can do personally, but what can we do as a community to slow down the traffic? It's as simple as that. We need traffic to slow down through our village. I'm just come back into the house about 10 minutes ago from a walk, and it made me realise we're actually the beginning and the end of the Wild Atlantic Way. Mm. So that alone tells you some of the influx of traffic we have in the village. You know, we sometimes forget that Muff is a point where you begin or end the Wild Atlantic Way, let alone the inhabitants of Muff itself. So we're extremely busy day and night, 7 days a week.
And what is the issue here? Is it that it's a main thoroughfare, that it's a stretch of road that, you know, people just think keep the foot down and onward?
Honestly, when you speak common sense, there is no sense to why people speed through the village. There is enough signage up to say you're entering the village. There's signage up to say there's a school on the outskirts of the village. There is traffic lights in the main street. There is no reason at all. I mean, I'm a big believer in common sense, and common sense has not been explored in the village of Muff in regards to traffic. I'm sure you're well aware that we've got huge businesses in the village. I mean, we're alive at the minute, very alive, and it's a lovely place to live. It's a very strong community in Muff. Everybody looks out for each other, but our roads are impacting everything. And even again, just when I was walking and musing at all this morning, we've got the Muff Sheltered Housing Complex right in the heart of the village, where a number of elderly people live. Those elderly people walk our village streets daily. Yeah. We've got the primary school, which my own 3 sons went to and walked to school every day. There's still endless children with parents walking to school every day, and yet the traffic is flying past.
Yeah,
to see visually that we have young and old walking our streets.
And the curbs are particularly low in much of Muff too, aren't they? So there's not an awful lot to protect pedestrians.
There's not, no.
Okay.
Like I say, it's just everything's very open.
Yeah, it is.
But
indeed.
It's a wide street.
I just think it just is straight, and I think just people, you know, they might see the signage, but they're not discouraged by that and just keep their foot down. Grania, there was a recent incident, and it's only the most recent of instances that has brought all this back into focus again. Talk to me about it.
The incident at the weekend just made people realise the hazard that can happen in the village. And if this were to happen again, if the incident would happen this weekend, this past weekend, were repeated, people might not escape as easily. We know there was injured people from the weekend, and thankfully they're going to recover. But next time, the incident might not allow someone to recover, and that's the worrying part. And I know one of the local businesses where the incident took place have a young son, and their friend had just walked past literally minutes before the incident happened. If those kids had stopped to talk or to play in that area at that time, who knows what the outcome would have been. So again, I just think this incident, it's not just this incident. This has obviously made people talk and make people speak out. So again, things happen and we have to do something about it. And like some people are asking me, I don't have the answers. I'm sure you saw I wrote a piece about speed ramps because people were telling me, can you put up a post? We need to have speed ramps. Mm-hmm. I'm aware we can't have speed ramps on a main road, but something needs to be done. The speed ramps are obviously just a symbol of what's to come. We need something to be there in place to slow down the traffic in the village.
All right, listen, thanks for that. I do appreciate it, Grania. That's Grania, who runs the Crack on the Muff Facebook page. Terry is of Muff Barbers, He joins us on the programme as well. Hi, Terry.
Hi there.
She joins us. I beg your pardon, Terry. My mistake. T-E-R-R-I. Of course, I knew that. Hey, come here, Terry. What you've got a bird's eye view, you know, travelling in and from work, chatting to your clients. What's your take on the speed of traffic through Muff?
Yeah, similar to Grania's. I work on the main street, so we just see cars zoom by all the time. And I actually happen to live on the other main street on the way out to Buncrana. So these are the two entries into the main street of Muff, and they are just so hazardous. It is scary how fast they go. And we both have speed signs to say, you know, I think it's like 50 kilometers per hour. And they're going way above it. And there's so many children in our village. And it's just scary. It's really, really scary.
I mean, just on your side of the street there, Terry, you know, like you're almost, if almost you get the impression you're below the street, the footpath and the buildings seem particularly exposed just the way the street is laid out. I mean, when any vehicles go past or the 18-wheelers go past, you must feel it in the, you know, your clients must feel it in the seats.
Yeah, you can feel the vibrations for sure when the traffic is passing by and the noise. Alone, but the thing that I'm really concerned about is I have a lot of children coming into the barbershop. I also have a blind man that comes into the barbershop and some of wheelchair. So the children are sometimes on bikes and stuff like that, and they don't have anywhere to cross, only way up at the pig area. So normally they're taking a chance when they're coming over from the shop, and they're just flying in from dairy and flying back out into dairy. So I'm just really afraid that there's going to be a big accident because of the speed.
Yeah, and
I would love it if there were some.
I mean, you know, in terms of sort of near misses, brakes, horns, screeching, and actual instances. Is it a regular occurrence as someone who's just right on
Yes, it is. Even for myself, even crossing over every day to work, just there at the memorial shop, there is like two little tiny signs. It's supposed to, two little stumps that are supposed to symbolize possible pedestrian walking. They're little tiny stumps, but nobody seems to know about them. So they don't even slow down to let you cross. You almost have to step out to get the traffic to stop to get across there. And sometimes, you know, like I was saying, I have a client who is blind and I have to walk him back over. And even though they see me with him and he has a stick, they very rarely slow down to let you cross.
What do you think the solution might be? We'll tease that with a local councillor shortly. But I mean, say, for instance, there were three pedestrian crossings similar to that they put in Ballybuffet, for an example. Do you think that might change the driver behaviour? That if, you know, people who weren't familiar with it saw pelican crossings, you know, two or three of them, that could have the effect of slowing traffic down? Or what about those flashing signs that tell you that you're exceeding the speed limit and slow down? I'm a big fan of those. I think they're really effective. There's definitely stuff can be done, Terry. I don't think we can just say that, oh, this is a main route, you can't do this, that and done. Because what are we waiting for? You know, someone literally to be maimed or killed.
That's exactly it. It's like there is always something that can be done. It's like, are they willing to do it? Like, this is a hazard, and you're right, it could be a death that can happen next. So before that happens, like, something should be in place, and like we could have the pedestrian walkways right outside my shop and the memorial shop and the garage. They could be more visible for people, like to symbolize there's a crossing here. They're also coming under there. There could be those like little speed signs or you know, that tells you what speed you're going at to give people awareness to slow down.
Yeah.
So
I just think really the community, the local community, residential business, just want some help here because, you know.
We really need help.
Yeah, I think that's what it comes down
to. We really need help.
All right. Listen, Terry, thank you very much for that. I'm going to be going to Councillor Terry Crossan shortly, but I want to bring Michelle in as well. Hi, Michelle.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. Right. What do you think needs to... Well, you describe what the traffic is like in Muff from your perspective.
Well, like I'm from Muff most of my life and it's always to me been a very peaceful and fairly quiet place to live, as the girls have said. We're very community oriented. But in recent years, it's just obviously there's a massive build-up and why it's welcomed, of course, you know, the traffic has become a lot more. But it is, you know, the speeding is terrible. But apart from that, you know, for me personally, what happened the other night was a catalyst to say, you know, enough is enough.
Can you talk to me about what happened the other night?
Well, there was a very serious accident or a smash, if you like. I put a post up on Gráinne's Crack on Muff because it was my own uncle that was involved in it. So, you know, while it was my uncle, if it had been anybody, I would have felt the same way. It really just, I suppose it made me feel angry to the point where, well, you know, enough's enough. You know, like there has to be something done. And in my post, I said that I'm calling for the people of Muff, a core group of us, to get together and to develop whatever you want to call it, a village watch team, a community response team. You know, I personally would be more than happy to be involved in that, and anyone who would like to do that can reach out. But I do think something is needed. It isn't just an individual problem. It's everybody that you talk to on a daily basis has got some experiences of what either, you know, the traffic flying through the village, but apart from that, personally, you know, my peace is disturbed constantly by what I can only describe as boy racers. This has become a massive issue. You know, you're hearing whatever you call it, divin and donut, morning and night. It could happen at any time.
I think there was a particular, I've seen videos, haven't I, recently. I think it looks very familiar outside the Maxwell station there. They were
just literally doing
whatever the hell they like. Nothing
exactly,
to do with the business at that junction.
No, it could have been, you know, like I say, that could have been 5 a.m. or whatever. Mm. But there's obviously people, worn views nearby. And it's more for me, it's inducing a feeling of fear and like you're not safe in your the place that you live. And this was never the case in Muff. And, you know, while Gráinne said, you know, there is adequate signing, I personally don't really feel that. You know, I feel that there should be a lot more signage. And I think as a group, you know, there needs to be a core group established to get the likes of Terry Crossan on board and to contact, you know, the roads executive to actually put solid action in place, not just talk about it and flit around it. You know, we need to actually take action, like proper action. And you know,
but the warnings have been, how many more warnings do the powers that be need? Can I ask you, Michelle, you talked about the amount of time you've been in Muff, and it seems to be that you've been describing a worsening situation. Is it easy for you to identify sort of what's changed? Why is it more of an issue now than it might have been in the past?
Well, it just seems that, you know, everything's busier, life's busier, people are in a rush. I think it's a lot to do with this nearly mentality of people as well. And I think that has to be something that's addressed. You know, while I'm not on here to slate anybody, I do think it has to be said there's a massive lack of an actual Garda presence in the village or in the surrounding area. And from what I know, I personally have had to ring twice because of the absolute noise pollution going on from where I am. And I couldn't pinpoint exactly where it was coming from, this divin, if you like. And I did, you know, ring both the Muff and the Buncrana Garda stations on both occasions. And sadly, there was no answer. And I do know from talking to people that whatever's been recorded has been passed on and reported to the authorities. But I don't know, but it doesn't seem that anything is being done. You know, there are people maybe that should be being spoken to about this, and I do think someone that was looking through the thread on Facebook and things like, you know, there should be bigger penalties for people who are, you know, committing these offences, you know.
And I think, like, too, I think enforcement, you know, is would be very important here. A squad car, Garda car there. This is what I don't understand, why we don't have a Garda car that can go outside problematic schools for half an hour. Outside Remelton, people are contacting me from Remelton now saying the problem's the same, or in Muff. You know, firstly, on the outside of the towns, put up these signs that say slow down, flashing, 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 you're going too fast. And then a bit of enforcement, someone out with a speed gun. It's not like it's cost neutral. They'll make a few quid. But just to try and alter the behaviour that drivers feel that there is some peril of the law in abusing Muff. And unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be the case now. People feel they can do whatever they like. It's, you know, it's the Wild West almost. Not Muff and the people of Muff, on about the roads.
Yes, it just feels like there's a minority group who are completely, like, lawless. They just can do what they want when they want. And why wouldn't they? Because no one's addressing it. No one's going to be there to reprimand them or do whatever. And I understand Muff as a sort of a main route, but, you know, I wouldn't dismiss the idea of speed bumps or whatever, because a friend was talking to me yesterday and she said, you know, lorries piled down, you know, past that Ardban area and to the main village. And, you know, I do think speed bumps can slow people down.
I think if they don't want speed bumps, do what they did in Capri or other places, you know, and people don't like it to begin with, but it slows traffic down. Enhance the footpaths. The footpaths need to be raised or enhanced so that they are actually some sort of a deterrent to cars. Narrow the road a little bit so the bigger vehicles do have to slow down. Stick up flashing signs so that those drivers that are compliant know what's going on and adjust their behaviour. Very, very simple stuff. I mean, yes, the ramps might be the job, but there's a ton of stuff that could be done to improve Muff as a whole, but to actually rebalance the villagers' lives versus the road traffic's lives. Just balance it, not, you know,
I agree
it's basic stuff,
Greg,
Michelle,
you know?
You know, it's not rocket science, and I think Muff deserves it for what it contributes with the businesses. You know, Maxwell, Muff Liquor, Centra's out there, isn't it? You know, Terry in a Barber's, Euro Exchange, you're all these businesses, you know, they deserve, you know, they deserve
Because it's a wonderful, it's a great village.
Borderland.
I mean, like Grania was saying, we're so community orientated. Everybody cares. We care about one another. You know, nobody wants to be living in a society where they're in fear. And, you know, even like I've said, the speed alone, you know, even the noise and people coming out and doing what they want to do, it's inducing fear for everybody. Mm. And it's not an individual problem. It's a community issue. But together, I have every confidence that, you know, we can develop a core group and just sit and see what we can do going forward, you know, practical solutions and just keep at it, like, because, you know, we have to do something.
All right, well, stick with
we
it.
Really
keep
do.
Us in the loop, Michelle. I think there's a start of something here with people like yourself driving it. And, you know, we have this platform here. That's what we're here for as well. So any meetings that you're calling or whomever might be calling them or whatever, you know, let us know. We'll certainly let people know. And let's just hope that something is done before it's too late. You know, I mean, we're not talking about fatalities, but, you know, you get knocked down, your hip and knee plays up for the rest of your life. You know, there's serious consequences to some of the stuff we're talking about. All right, Michelle, thanks very much indeed. Look after yourself. Councillor Terry Crossan, I hope, is still with me. Are you there, Councillor?
Yes, I am. Greg.
Sorry to come to you last, Councillor, but, you know, I thought it important that the ladies, you know, strong community-minded people, business people, people on the ground had an opportunity to sort of get their say, and they've outlined it really. They couldn't have done it any better. As a local rep, what are you going to do about this, or what have you been doing?
Well, I was travelling home from Glasgow on Friday evening, and I became aware of the incident when I saw some quite disturbing images on social media, and I'm now aware that there was a road traffic accident, there was a number of people injured, and I would like to convey my sentiments to them, and I wish them a very speedy recovery. I wouldn't want to comment further on Churchill incident, as I believe it to be an ongoing investigation by Gardaí. So I feel it would be inappropriate to make any public comment on that. However, it has generated a lot of commentary about speed through the village. So, and this has been a concern of mine for many, many years. It was our group who actually got the traffic lights in place there. It took us actually 3 years or more to actually get that over the line. The village is becoming increasingly busy for traffic. It's a north-south arterial route. There is very heavy cross-border traffic. We're now in the a very important time for agriculture. There's an increased volume of very heavy agricultural traffic, so we have to be more careful than ever. But I have actually emailed and I've invited the senior roads engineer to come to visit the village and to actually engage and to speak with the businesses and residents to explore ways of addressing this very serious and growing problem. And I have emailed them today. I await their response, and as soon as I have that, I will put that response out into the public domain. On Saturday afternoon, I actually went and spoke to some of the individuals who were most impacted by it, and you know, there has been very, very serious damage done to one of our most prominent businesses in the village, and you know, it is a total miracle that no one was actually killed.
Yeah, well, we go around the county, you know, and you can see, you know, roads being constructed, cycle lanes being constructed, investment happening all over the place. A lot of towns are getting attention. There's so much talk about active travel in Letterkenny and, you know, traffic calming measures in and around Ballybofey, Twin Towns, for an example. A lot of investment in footpaths and all that kind of stuff. Like, where's the attention for Muff? Where's the investment? Where's the plan for Muff? You know, this is going to get kicked between the roads executive of Donegal County Council and Transport Infrastructure Ireland for a decade, isn't it? I mean, what can be done in the interim to back the businesses, back the people and get something actually done?
Yes, Greg, absolutely. And I agree. And I agree with an earlier individual. There is a total lack of Gardaí presence in our village. I was promised a number of years ago that the Garda, the actual Garda barracks would be opened on a more regular basis. That actually hasn't happened. It's opened very few times. There is very little visual Gardaí presence, and that needs to be improved.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, there are going to be those that are familiar with Muff, and they'll just bury the foot because they don't really care. But, you know, is there enough being done to advise the majority of responsible drivers to slow down? You know, there are different measures that have to be surely tried in the short term to try and ease the situation here, even just to reduce the traffic on an average of 10 or 15 kilometres, you know, would be success. You know, however that's done. Like, we seem to be going from where we're at now to sort of the bells and whistles solution. Is there, experience, is there anything that the council can be doing in conjunction with Ungada Síochána in the next couple of weeks to reassure the people of Muff?
Yeah, absolutely, Greg. And I intend to get the roads engineers out here ASAP to engage directly and in a positive way with the people and with the businesses of Muff. And I hope that we can explore avenues. There needs to be positive input from the people, the residents, and from the businesses, but also the roads engineers need to take this all on board and make a positive response.
Yep. All right. We shall follow it closely. Thank you. That's Councillor Terry Crossan there joining us, talking about the situation in Muff. Anna Connolly says there are dangerous drivers speeding on the roads and there are very few checkpoints. There are not enough speed checks to slow them down. I've been in a few instances where speed was an issue. Indeed, that's more generally speaking to issues. If Muff is so well known for speeding, then why aren't the speed vans operating there 24/7? There is one in Carndonagh nearly every day. Is it because NI drivers are more difficult to prosecute? Well, there's been a serious collision there now. I'm not sure. You'll have to excuse me. I don't know the ins and outs of it historically. But, you know, there is scope now to put a speed van there, I presume, by the criteria that's laid out. Maybe a speed van located there with some regularity would be not as welcome. I don't know. Road signs missing and dangerous bend signs overgrown on the Buncranes to Derry Road. That's a big issue. They have a live camera at a notorious diffing spot in Fintown and offenders there have been brought to court. Yep, there is a diffing issue. There was certainly high profile diffing instances there not so long ago. I'm not sure if it's every weekend, but this is just really, it reminds me a little bit like, it's like kind of like Brookless and there are a few other towns. Duncan Ely springs to mind as well. But Duncan Ely, you know, it seems to be, as whilst it also has its issues, the road seems to have been designed to encourage people to slow down. Muff doesn't seem to be like that. Anyway, if you want involved in that conversation, get in touch, 08660 25000. Councillor Michael McBride joins us on the show now, and it's off the back of news that the new pitch in Kilmacrenan had to be closed last week because of damage done to the walkway into it. It's the result of antisocial behaviour. Councillor McBride, you know, it's horrible when we should be talking about, you know, fantastic new facilities, because they're so hard got, aren't they, that instead we find ourselves having to try and discourage people from abusing those new facilities.
Good morning, Greg, and all your listeners there. Yeah, as most, you know, there was some vandalism that took place there in Kilmacrenan, and it was on the pathway there from the N56 just above the Millbridge shop. It's a shortcut across onto the park where fencing boards and lights were damaged on it. So it's a bit unfortunate. You know, I think they had a little bother there in the past that it all settled down, and it just seems to have reared its head up again. The actual pitch itself, as from what I understand, has been closed due to fertilizer being spread on it and stuff like that, and probably will open up maybe next week or the week after again.
Yeah.
But, you know, like all these committees, Greg, they put in a lot of work to try and draw down grants, you know, for the developments. And the committee there are very progressive. They've done a lot of work already, and they've already, I think it's $125,000 of sports capital grant to start working on building their clubhouse. And last week, no later than last week, they secured another $75,000 there for the try and put a gym in place. You know, so there are a lot of people putting a lot of time, a lot of work, and a lot of energy into it, and it's a bit unfortunate. So we have to appeal to the people that are involved in this.
Stop it! Yeah, I mean, we have to highlight it, right? But we don't want to amplify it either. So there's been a couple of recent instances, as you say. There's maybe some stuff in the past, but this is it's a brand new community-focused shared space. And really, any attack on this type of facility is an attack on the community. So whomever was responsible, jack it in, pack it in, and hopefully the guards will up their patrols in the area. They're pretty good at finding out who's responsible for this stuff. So, you know, let's nip it in the bud, pack it in, and that when it reopens after the fertiliser and what have you, hopefully we'll not be talking about this type of stuff into the future, Michael. Is that the message?
I think that's absolutely right. You know, you're getting into the time of year now that children are off school, and it's probably, you know, for a few months now, the park will be used more than it does maybe for the rest of the year put together. I think, you know, it's important that the parents feel that they're safe to go down there with their children, and indeed any of the children that's old enough to go there on their own, that they're safe going there and coming back. And look, I'm sure it's a real handful of people that's involved in it, but we're just appealing to them for the, you know, just to put a bit of thought into what they're doing, and you know, like some appreciation for the people that are putting so much work into it to provide a park in the local community. And it's a great asset there. So that's basically the message we want to get out there today, Greg.
All right, we'll leave it at that. Thanks, Councillor Michael McBride. Good morning to Dolores, a regular viewer of the show on Facebook. Mike, Siobhan, imagine why to you too, Siobhan and Audrey, a regular viewer of the show. Jer on YouTube says, we've the same issue in Remelton. Drivers ignoring the 50 kilometres per hour speed limit, entering and exiting the town. It's only a matter of time before a child is killed crossing the road to school. And then I mentioned the flashing speed signs, to which Jer, responded, Greg, we've the flashing speed signs coming into Remelton from Milford, and it does nothing to stop the speeders. Nothing? Maybe. I don't know. Okay, but I just think, you know, we need to not throw everything at it. That sounds like a waste, but, you know, try stuff. You never know. It might change. Behaviour. 086 60 25,000, that's the WhatsApp and text number. We've got loads to come for you over the next couple of hours here on the 9 till noon show. And I'll get to your comments that I haven't got to yet. But we're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back with the 10 o'clock news. And